To many of you, those of you that were either away last week or you missed church last week because it was raining. I know it's hard to get to church when it's raining. That was a joke. If you're a visitor, all right. If you're a visitor, I believe sarcasm is the 10th fruit of the Spirit. Okay. So we are going to have a wonderful 2017. Amen. God is a good God. God is faithful. But there are things that we are going to yield to Him, that we're going to do purposefully to see His greatest plans and His purposes come to pass in our life. It's a little bit hot today, amen? We will give you the wonderful news that we proposed air conditioners in the board meeting for the budget for next year, and it was unanimously canceled. Cost too much, so sorry about that. Okay, so just fan or do what you need to do. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is one of the really key, wonderful teachings of Jesus. And John chapter 3 is another big one. There's a few places in the Bible, obviously the Sermon on the Mount. But John chapter 10 is really a big one, where Jesus explains His purpose. He explains our relationship to Him. And I think it would be a great place to start the new year to really see. We get a great picture of who He is. We get a great picture of our relationship to Him and what He desires to do in our life and what is our response to Him. All right. So John, the 10th chapter, verse 1. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. All right, so Jesus has an illustration, you could say a mini parable, for those that are listening to him. Now, verse 6 says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. Now, how many of you know there's probably not 100 interpretations of this? All right, if you were familiar at all with the writings of the Old Testament, how many even know when there is the mention of a sheep, that's us? All right, so we are the sheep of his pasture. All we like sheep have gone astray. So the Lord is my shepherd. So the fact that we're sheep, so that's not necessarily a brand new concept. The fact that he is a shepherd, also not a new concept. But they didn't understand, so Jesus interpreted this parable. And he didn't always do that, but in this case he did. So we can hear his interpretation because then we don't have to mix up ours. Okay, verse 7. So he explained it to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All right, so Jesus is the gate. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. Everybody say, through Jesus. Will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So we want to take a few weeks to use this phrase that Jesus said, finding good pasture. Finding good pasture. Because Jesus said, if you go through me, I'm the gate. On the other side of that gate is something called good pasture. All right? So he is the shepherd, but he is also the gate by which we as sheep get to where we need to go. Others are not everyone has the same intention as Jesus. All right, so Jesus has an intention to be our Savior, to be the gate to get us to this good pasture. Others want to steal, kill, and destroy, to rob, All right, so those are the people that we are not following. So the first thing Jesus says here is that those who go through the gate are saved. And I want you to notice that the claims of Jesus, he never said that there are five gates. There is one gate, and his name is Jesus Christ. We live in a day and age today where Christians are asked to be tolerant. All right? Now, I certainly believe that Christians can be nicer than we were 100 years ago, 200 years ago. We can certainly be more kind and loving. But one of the things that's being asked of Christians today is don't be so exclusive. Reverend Pakuta Mwanza was telling me last week that one of our neighbors to the south, the big one, where we go shopping, right? That there are new laws that are being proposed there that if we were to say some of the things that Jesus said, that would be considered hate speech. And even pastors or Christians could be against the law by saying what Jesus said. How many know Jesus in some places would get arrested by saying, you bunch of white-walled sepulchers? No, that's hate speech. Well, why did he call them that? Because they were. You brood of vipers. All right? Because they were. All right? So Christians are more and more, and this is just in my short period of time in my life. I'm 49 years old. But I have seen Christians more and more and more afraid to say what the Bible says. All right? Now, again, have people used the Bible in ways instead of to instruct and to help people, they've used it more like a club to beat people. All right, so that's not the purpose of the Word of God either. All right, but more and more and more, people really just take whole portions of the Bible and they rip them out, cut them out, because it doesn't sound affirming. Okay, well, how many of you know when Paul told the church at Corinth, don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Why would you join yourself with a harlot? How many of you know that's not affirming? Well, that doesn't make me feel nice. Right? If somebody's sleeping with prostitutes. Well, I want you to make me feel good. No, God wants you to feel like you're a dummy. Because you are one. Well, that's what Proverbs says, right? It uses another nicer word. A foolish man. Oh, foolish man. If we say it with a British accent, it sounds more palatable, right? But there are times where the Word of God just tells us the truth, and we're on the other side of being smart. And so God tells us those things because he loves us. Jesus says, I am the gate. I'm not one of many gates. Had a conversation with somebody over the May, June, July when we were away, and they were saying, you know, he was a Catholic. He says, hey, the way I see it is, you know, hey, everybody worships the same God. We just call him different names. I thought, well, that's not what your Pope believes. Thank God. All right. Allah is not the God of the Bible. All right. Buddha is not the God of the Bible. Confucius is not the God of the Bible. Coming to higher existence is not what we read about in the Bible. Jesus said, I am the gate. And if you want to get to good pastures, you have to come through me. And if you don't come through me, the good pastures will not be for you. It is exclusive. Now, why is this? Because there is only one Savior. Jesus said, if you come to me, if you come through the gate, I will be your Savior. All right? While other people in the world came up with some really nice things to say. And actually, if you study world religions, you could say that there are admirable things in every religion. All right? Except for the part of like getting to heaven. That's a real problem. Okay? But there are religions that say do good, be nice, give away your money, look after the poor. Well, that's nice, isn't it? And actually, some of that, you could argue they borrowed from the Bible. All right? But the fact is that not every claim is true. There is one way to the Father, and it is through Jesus Christ. He is the gate. Now, I realize I'm preaching to the choir. I know that many, many of you have already accepted that fact, and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you believe Him to be the Savior of your life. And that's awesome. And we're gonna see, well, what else does that mean? What are the other claims of Jesus upon our life? All right. And so when Christians begin to say what the Bible says and what Jesus said, that He is the way, He is the only way. We sang about it today. He is the way. It really gets people upset. And this doesn't happen very often, but over the Christmas break, I was spiritually edified from an article in the New York Times. Might have been the first time in my life where I was spiritually edified. I'm informed sometimes, I'm annoyed sometimes, but I can't say I was ever spiritually edified. But a columnist was asking a pastor about Christmas, and from a Christian's point of view, and this pastor knocked it out of the park. He nailed it, all right? Reverend Timothy Keller, Presbyterian guy in New York City. And the reporter said this, well, you know, the claims of Jesus and the claims of Christianity would say that Gandhi is not going to heaven. Now, remember Gandhi? Changed a whole nation. Gandhi famously said, I do not follow Jesus. I don't follow Christ. He gave a reason, but he said, I don't follow Jesus Christ. All right, so he would himself admit that he would not consider himself a follower of Jesus, that Jesus is a Savior. And so it says, you know, it's hard to believe that, you know, somebody that good and somebody that was that nice and accomplished so much that, you know, that they're outside of Christianity. And this is what Timothy Keller said. People like Gandhi can't go to heaven. All right. He said, you imply that really good people like Gandhi should also be saved, not just Christians. The problem is that Christians do not believe that anyone can be saved by being good. If you don't come to God through faith in what Christ has done, you would be approaching on the basis of your own goodness. This would ironically actually be more exclusive and unfair, since so often those who tend to do, quote, bad things, the abusers, the haters, and the selfish have themselves very often had abusive and troubled backgrounds. Christians believe that it is those who admit their weakness and a need for a Savior who get salvation. If access to God is through the grace of Jesus, then anyone can receive eternal life instantly. This is why born-again Christianity will always give hope and spread among the wretched of the earth. That's pretty good for the New York Times. Everything that is fit to be print. Well, that's fit to be print. That's their motto, by the way. All right. So the claims of Jesus are true. He is the gate. He is the only Savior of the world. He is the only Savior for our relatives. You know, our nice, sweet relatives that don't know Jesus. The ones that are so nice that are nicer than 99% of Christians. It's kind of sad, isn't it? All right? But niceness doesn't get us to heaven. A good list of all the wonderful things we've done is not a stake for salvation. We are lost, and Jesus paid the price, and He alone paid the price. And friends, that message is being hammered, and we are being persecuted more and more for that simple message. Jesus is the way. Amen. May we proclaim it louder and bolder than ever before. All right. So what is past the gate? All right. So Jesus is the Savior. We've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. We are Christians. We're followers of Jesus, whatever terminology we choose to use. But we go through that gate. What's on the other side of that gate? Is it rules and religion? Is it a boring life? Is it everything that looks fun and wonderful? God says, no, 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 no. And especially peri-peri sauce, no. You need to live a boring, bland life. In my high school years, I was around Christians that literally believed that way. They did not believe, I'm not joking, they did not believe in the color red or purple because it was too flashy. It was too worldly. Well, wait a second. If God created it, it's heavenly. Amen. And so all the ladies wore gray and light blue. All right. And they did their hardest to be unattractive. And they pulled it off gloriously. Oh my God. Jesus, save me. All right. All right. So, but really the whole idea was, let's have a bland life in Jesus' name. But I don't think that's the God of the Bible. That doesn't seem to be what he does. He sings and dances and rejoices and calls us to parties and calls others to come and join. Amen. Is that the life that Jesus lived? No, it wasn't. All right. So what's on the other side of the gate? Rules, religions, a longer list. All right. It's not what Jesus said. What did he say was on the other side of the gate? He used this term, good pastures. All right. So if you are a sheep and you go through this gate and on the other side of the gate is a good pasture, you know what that means? All that I need is there. All that I need for my existence, for my sustenance, to have a life that I was designed to live. Everything that I need is through that gate. Everything I need for life. And what that means is that through the gate of Jesus, if good pastures are there and I'm a sheep, it means I don't have to look for another gate. And this is the temptation that Satan brought in the garden. And it is the same temptation that he brings to Christians today. Did God really say? Did he really say this? Did he really say that through one gate is the life that you need? The life that will satisfy you. Jesus explained it in verse 10. A rich and satisfying life. Is that really the life that's on the other side of the gate? Or isn't it the life you see on Channel O and MTV and VH1? Now it's basically on every channel, isn't it? Huh? That godlessness and rejecting God, that is the life that's worth it. That is the satisfying life. That's the life that has all the pleasure and the wonder. All right. So what did the enemy say? Did God really say? He knows that the day that you eat of this fruit, what fruit? The fruit he said no to, that's the day when life begins. You'll be like him. You'll know good and evil. There is something that good that awaits you on the other side of rebellion against God. That is the lie of the enemy. All right. But if you believe that God is a gray and light blue God, then maybe that fruit begins to look good. But guess what? In God's kingdom, through the gate of Jesus, are all the pastures you will ever need. All the life you are ever hoping for. You know, we use this word, this phrase, because it's in the Bible. God is a good God. That's a biblical phrase. Oral Roberts got in huge trouble for saying that. Because in his day and age, people didn't believe that. All right. And so now in church, without really thinking, we say, God is a good God. All the time, all the time. But my experience is, we say it at church, we know to say it, but a huge percentage of Christians do not believe it. Why? Because they're looking in other gates. Married people. Through the gate called Jesus, your pasture is your spouse. The pasture for your physical satisfaction, for intimacy, is your spouse. And so the world says, no, go knock on this gate. What's in that gate? Ooh, a sweet young secretary, 20 years younger than me. No. It's called death. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. You're going to die. Oh, but it looks so nice. No. Close the door. Keep out the devil. Open the door called Jesus. Amen. In fact, that's what Proverbs says. Drink water from your own cistern. Amen. The wife of your youth. The wife of your middle age. The wife of your old age. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he is a good God. So, the church world has begun to discover that more and more. But unfortunately, the church world has also kind of twisted it. All right? And so the church world, I saw some prophet doodad on the internet, seer guy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.2, I don't know. All right? So it was this seer guy. All right? And he's in front of 8 sports cars. Standing there, like a boss, right? Let me just say this. If you have 8 sports cars that you need to take a picture of with you in front of, you've got bigger problems than just a picture. That is a sign of insecurity. Love me, love me. I'm a success. See, it's twisting God's purpose for money. What is God's purpose for money? The Bible's really, really clear. It is so that all your needs can be met at all times. The Bible is crystal clear about that. It is a tool for you to do the will of God on the earth. Try doing the will of God without money. You can't do it, folks. I'm sorry, you can't do it. The money is to do the will of God for you, for your life, for your family, and it is to have extra to be a mega blessing to fund the kingdom and the work of God. Amen. Because it is not for you to feel good about yourself. It is not to line up all your sports cars and then tag your ex-girlfriend. Oh, yeah. That's insecurity. That's somebody that doesn't really know in the bottom of their heart, I am loved by God. And what you think about me, like Jesus said, it means nothing to me. I don't need for you to say, oh, fancy car, beautiful house, fantastic. All right. The blessings of God are there to share and to help the kingdom go forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I know not a lot of people like that one. All right, but it's true anyway. So, but on the other hand, if you think that the gate of Jesus is a pathway to a boring, defeated, miserable life, you are not reading the Bible accurately. You're not reading the Bible accurately. All right? Psalm 17, verse 7. He has pastures for you, friend. Psalm 17, 7. Show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. By your mighty power, you rescue those who seek refuge from their enemies. All right, so the psalmist said, Lord, show me your unfailing love in wonderful ways. What are the last 10 wonderful things that God has done for you? Well, I can't really think of any. Well, you need to pray this prayer. Amen. You need to do what the psalmist said. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Experience for yourself. Don't let it be on a video or a sermon, on a bumper sticker. Let it be the experience of your life. God is good to me. How do you know? Well, let me show you the pictures. Let me tell you the experiences. Let me show you that he took me from this place and he took me here. My life was so bitter. I had so much unforgiveness. I was so insecure. But that's not what my life is now. He has been good to me. I've tasted and I've seen. Amen? So that is what are some of the things that is past the gate. All right? My wife and I, Pastor Aaron and I, our day off is on Friday. And so we were doing different things at home and catching up on certain things. And then I went to the shop. Saw a couple of you, miracle lifers, at the shop. Hello, if you're here. And I was just getting a few things and tried something new for lunch. And so I was cutting it up. And of course, I had to eat half of it, you know. And I thought, this is delicious. So you know what? I didn't tell my wife, this is delicious. It has just the right of seasoning and its sweetness and it's juicy. You know what I did? I cut a piece. I said, try this. Try this. She put it in her mouth, chewed it up, and she said, oh, it's good. It's good. Amen. Taste it for yourself. So God is, he wants to get out of the Bible and into your experience. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? That's his plan. The green pasture. Now, the green pasture comes, the good pasture comes, through going through the gate called Jesus. He is the one that we follow. God is not going to take our rebellion and our nonsense and our perversion of Scripture and make it into a good pasture. Doesn't work that way. So maybe you're the married person, right? There's a good pasture. Part of that good pasture is your marriage. The plan that God has for that. Well, you went over to this other door. The cute secretary, 20 years younger than you, right? Oh, God bless this. God bless this. He cannot. He will not. And he will never bless your nonsense. He will never bless your rebellion. He takes your fig leaves and he throws them away. He rejects the work of your hands. Amen. And so many Christians, oh, God is a good God. Hallelujah, he's a good God. Well, God, come and bless my sin. God, come and bless my rebellion. God, bless my business. Well, how did your business start? Through greed, corruption, lies? No. He doesn't want to bless that. He wants to blow it up. Amen. If that's your business, you need to be like Zacchaeus. Go back to all the people, including Zera, who you've cheated. Say, that's the Bible. Yes, that's the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Yeah. You go back to all the people you've cheated and you run out of money and you start a new business and you found it on integrity. You found it on the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I need the Lord to bless my girlfriend. I need the Lord to bless my boyfriend. We love each other, but we're having a lot of problems. I need the Lord to bless me. Bless me. I need some oil. I need some water. Well, how have you built it on? Well, actually, my girlfriend is a married woman. Well, you see, actually, I lied to her about my money. Yeah, I lied to her about this. I lied to her about this. It's built on lies. It's built on fornication. No. God doesn't want to bless that. He will not bless that. Get saved. Go through the door. And through the door of Jesus being your Savior, there is the good pasture. That's what you need. Not all these feeble attempts that we make. Amen. So the Bible says this. So Jesus is talking about this life. It's called a good pasture. But the very same Jesus said this. If you try to hold on to your life, what happens? You lose it. When you let go of your life, you find it. What do you find? You find his life. You find his plan, his purpose. Amen. What you pick up is better than what you left behind. What you embrace is better than the rebellion you try to hold on to. Oh, friends, I can tell you, this is not just a concept or a philosophy for me. This is a lifestyle that I have proven for the last 30 years. Oh, the life that I have is so much better than the life I tried to hold on to for myself. And at different periods of my time where there was this rebellion and I didn't feel like following the shepherd. And I said yes and I went through that gate. You know what I found? Oh, such awesome. What an awesome life. Amen. I would have never found a wife like I have and been able to raise kids like I have going through my own gate. Oh my goodness, I'd be like the woman at the well. Yeah, I've been married four times and the lady I'm with right now, she's not my wife either. That would have exactly been my life. All right? But God. But also, Walker had to go through the gate. Walker had to say no to some other gates, to some other knocks, to some other plans and purposes. Amen. If I wouldn't have laid down my life, I certainly would not be standing before you today. All right. This was not the life I chose. All right. It was the life that God had for me. Oh, and it's so much better than the little, simple, small, measly little life that I had concocted for myself. Oh, what a sad little life that I had thought up for myself. Amen. Now, notice Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. You see, folks, when we're born into this world, we are pre-wired to be rebellious. Every parent who has ever raised a child knows this. How many of you know you never had to send them to disobedience class? You had to send them to violin class, piano class, French class. There's a whole lot of things, math class. None of those things come pre-wired. But what comes pre-wired? No, mommy. I'll do it my way. Isaiah 53, verse 4. It was our weakness that he carried, our Savior, Jesus. It was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, everybody say all. All of us, including Gandhi, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left the Lord's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Okay? So part of our sheepness is this propensity to go our own way. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Paul, you know, this is sheep language. Paul gives it a real clear picture of humanness and what we do when we go our own way. Romans 1:21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. This was 2,000 years ago. We're still doing the same thing, aren't we? As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, instead, they became fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols, made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desired. Oh my goodness, what a scary verse. Why doesn't God stop me? No, he's going to let you do, if you want to, the shameful things that get in your heart. All right? And then he begins to describe what some of these things look like. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of all praise. And what Paul is saying here is that sexual immorality is idol worship. God made our bodies. God made men and women. But he didn't make them for us to serve and worship. Yes, did God create us? All right. And if you're wonderful and if you're beautiful, blame God. Because he made you beautiful, right? So what we do is we now worship at the foot of what God gave to us to be a blessing instead of worshiping him. And then he explains some of this. Verse 26, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. Everybody say the natural way. I say this with all due respect, but if you work for the German or the American or the Norwegian embassy, this is what the Bible says. The natural way. God bless you. You can come back next week. Maybe I'll be nicer next week. Okay. Verse 27. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with each other, with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Verse 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them. This is the third time that this passage has said this. He abandoned them to their own foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Should never be done. But how do we do them? When we choose to put our thoughts above God's thoughts. We go into pastures other than His pasture. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. All right, Paul described one kind, verse 26 and 27. One kind of wickedness. But here's another list. Sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception. Deception. Are you a deceptive person? If you are, you made the list. Okay? Malicious behavior, gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. We've had a lot of patent applications in 2016 for new ways of sinning. And they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises. They're heartless. They have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse, yet they encourage others to do so. Scary statement. God abandons people to their own foolish thinking. He abandons themselves to their own foolish thinking. Letting them do things that should never have been done. Amen? Christians who believe that sex before marriage is rich and satisfying. That you need to try on the coat before you buy it. You have abandoned God's ways. Huh? And you have done things that should have never been done. Jesus said, give to God what belongs to God. Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. If you cheat people and you don't give receipts and you don't submit to ZRA, well, I don't like the way they're spending my money. Jesus didn't give that as a caveat. The Romans weren't spending it very well either. Okay? Amen. What are you doing? You are doing things that should never be done. Amen. And then for half of the Sundays, you come up to the front for the care team. Pray for my finances. The devil's attacking my finances. Oh, the attack on my finances. I think it's a generational curse. No, it is generational stupidity, and it's your generation. Your generation. Huh? Yeah. Talking about my generation. See, it's your decisions. It's your acts. Now, here's the deal. What's the other way? Oh, it's so simple. It's so simple. Go through the gate called Jesus. Go through His kingdom and all of His ways. Learn them. Incorporate them into your heart. What are you going to find? Oh, good pastures. Good pastures. Good pastures. Amen. You know, if I got a call today from ZRA, I would think they were calling to congratulate me. Yeah, because I pay everything. Miracle Life, we pay everything. A lot. We pay everything. Amen. Stuff that comes through the border, we pay everything. Well, I got pastor. I got a cousin in Chirundu. Well, I don't want to talk to your cousin if he's a thief. Amen. We need a Savior. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 22. May 2017 be the year you replace foolish thinking with God's way. With God's way. That's why I can't declare what 2017 is going to be for you. Because with a crowd this size, unfortunately, percentages tell us that there's going to be a few of you that keep going through doorways other than Jesus to meet the needs of your life. Don't do it. 1 Peter 2:22. He never sinned, nor he ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we are healed. It means he can fix stuff. Verse 25, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now, how do you say now? You have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Oh, friends, may we be found in that verse. Yes, we used to go our own way, but we have returned. We've returned to our shepherd. We've returned to the only gate that brings good pastures for our life. Amen. God is asking you today, Christians, first of all, turn from eating your own fields of dust and rubble and rocks. Stop eating there. Stop going through the wrong doors. Turn to the shepherd of your soul. Turn to the one who is good. Turn to the one who has said, I will give you a rich and satisfying life, as he defines it. Oh, friend, he didn't lie. It is true. Turn to him. Turn to him now. Stop eating from the own recipes of your rebellion and the consequences that you concocted for yourself. Oh, it's the devil. It's the devil. The devil is a lurking and a working. And with the rise of the Kafue River, we have a rise of water spirits. Have you found water spirits in the Bible? I can't find them in the Bible. Oh my goodness, but every other church in our country. Oh, the water spirits. No. It's not a rise of the water spirits. It's a rise of our propensity as a sheep to go our own way. Huh? To quit on our marriage, to quit on our integrity. Right? It's Job's wife. Curse God and die. Just give up on this God thing. Pastor Benjamin said, start off 2017. I started off 2017. I tithed last week. I lost my job this week. Maybe that's you. Guess what? Follow Jesus. Go through the gate. Find his good pastures for your life, because they exist. So Christians, we have to daily turn to our Savior and his ways. Secondly, perhaps you're here today and you need a Savior. You've never said yes to him. You know what? I grew up in a church, and you know, there's some really great things happening in that church today. But at the time I went to this certain church, our priest, our rector, did not preach from the Bible. Later we discovered why, because he was sleeping with half the church, the ladies. So the Bible was kind of inconvenient for him. Okay, so going to church was like reading a column in a magazine. And you saw Jesus on a cross and you took communion. I had no idea. Everybody in that church just lived like the devil. So, but the world I grew up in, you went to church because it was a socially acceptable thing to do. And it was what, you know, good people did. All right. Now, all my friends don't go to church now that I grew up with. None of them. None of them who grew up in that church. They've rejected that just nonsense religion. Okay. So I thought that maybe I had a relationship with God because I went to church. I thought that maybe God was okay because I certainly wasn't really good, but I certainly wasn't as bad as the bad people I went to school with. How many know there's the good crowd and there's the bad crowd? Okay. So I joined the bad crowd on occasion to have fun, but then I kind of made my way back in the middle. Otherwise, my mother would literally kill me. Okay. So I wanted to live to my 18th birthday. Okay. So we make all these other doors of what we think is getting to God. Being religious, being good, being nice, not doing certain things. All right. When I was a kid, I was 3 months old. I was baptized as a baby. All right. I was a baby that was lost. And then I was a lost baby that was wet. That's the only thing that happened on that day. My sins were not washed away. Okay. So maybe some of you are Christians, and I had another season of my life like this, that, like the prodigal son in Luke 15, that left his father's house and left those good pastures. And the end result of his rebellion was he was about to eat pig food. And I want to invite any backslidden Christian this morning, boy, put down the pig food. It's not that tasty. Oh, and there's a Father that if you will walk back, He will run to you. He'll give you a new robe. He'll put shoes on your feet that you lost during your rebellion. He'll restore your life. And so you need to turn to a shepherd who will again restore your soul. I saw this wonderful hymn. Maybe some of you sang this growing up. I did. My teenage years. Come thou fount. Oh, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. So to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. And let thy goodness like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. That's 2017, folks. That's allowing the pasture that God has created for your life to be where you eat. And you only eat there. Amen. Bow your head with me. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, stir our hearts. Father, make us so uncomfortable with our pig food. God, make us so uncomfortable with the end of our rebellion and our stubbornness, God. Oh, Father, you sent Jesus. Oh, and he told us the truth. God, I pray for anyone under the sound of my voice that's knocking on the wrong doors, that's eating at the wrong table, God. Convict their heart today, God. God, just let them see the truth. Let them see reality as you see it, God. But Father, I thank you that the other part of that reality is that there's a way back to you called Jesus Christ. And he's paid the whole price. And God, it doesn't take our penance. It doesn't take 2 years of suffering. It takes a decision today to turn towards you. Father, I pray for any person that has never met you, that Father is in the wrong family. Father, may they turn to you. Father, for prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place today and you've never walked through that gate called Jesus Christ, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Friend, Jesus Christ himself made it very clearly. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, without Jesus Christ, you will perish. You're cut off from the life of God. And when you die, God will allow your decision to reject Jesus to be permanent, to be eternal. While you have breath is the only chance you have to change your eternal destiny. Oh, and friend, he loves you so much. And if you don't know Jesus, that's why you're here today. It was to hear this and to say yes to him. Maybe you're like the prodigal son and the daughter and you realize, Pastor, I am so sick of pig food. I hear you. Put it down and come home to your Father. Today, right now, in Jesus' name. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I need a Savior. I need to walk through that doorway called Jesus. I need to put down the pig food. I'm a prodigal son or daughter. I need to come home. If that's you, I want to pray with you. You're one prayer away from a brand new life. And so that we can pray together, what I'd ask you to do is just lift up your hand real, real high. Just shoot it up. Just wave it at me and say, that's me. Today, I'm going through that gate. Today, I'm coming home. Just lift it up real, real high. Just wave it at me. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you there in the back. Oh, this is a good day to know Jesus. Thank you over here. Fantastic. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. God sent a Savior because he knew we needed one. Oh, don't say no to such great a salvation. Don't reject such great a salvation. Anyone else before we pray? Just lift up your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. That's me. Over here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Congregation, can we all stand to our feet? I'd ask you to stay simply to honor the decision that these people are making. Just root them on and cheer them on. Pray for them. You lifted up your hand. Here's what I'd ask you to do is grab your Bible, your handbag, whatever you came to church with. Grab it and just come up to the front. We're going to pray together. And this is a wonderful outward sign of saying, you know what? I am leaving my old life. And I am stepping. I'm following Jesus today. Amen. Thank you, sir. First hand, first one up front. You mean business, don't you? You're not messing around. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Just come, in Jesus' name. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Great decision. Great decision. Thank you, sir. Bless you. Glad you came. Thank you, man. God bless you. He's a good Jesus. Oh, he's so good. So good. Wonderful. All right. Now, if I wanted you to have this as a gift, how would you get it? You just reach out, right? So how many of you can't pay for a gift? But we do receive a gift that someone else paid for us. And that's what we're about to do by praying to God right now. We're going to receive his love, his grace, his forgiveness. Jesus paid for it, but we receive by faith. And so I'd ask you just to lift up your hand toward heaven right now. Just lift it up. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe you sent Jesus as my Savior. He is the gate. He is the door to you. I receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. You died, you rose again, and I receive you today. I leave every wrong thing in the past, and I follow you now, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I belong to you. That's what your word says. In your name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, awesome, awesome.